Mrs. Abbott Laboratories, Mr. Weiman.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Patrick Weimet. I represent the plaintiff appellant in this appeal, Dennis Walker versus Abbott Laboratories. May it please the court. Your Honors, there are principally two issues that have been presented to this court. The first issue is whether or not the plaintiff presented sufficient evidence to satisfy the fourth prong of the McDonnell-Douglas burden-shifting prima facie case in the district court below. The second issue is, if the plaintiff did present sufficient evidence to satisfy the fourth prong, did the plaintiff present sufficient evidence to show pretext so to allow the case to go to the jury? We believe that in both cases the answer is the plaintiff did present sufficient evidence. We believe the district court ruling was an error in this case, and we ask this court to reverse that ruling. The court, as this court knows, that this is on case as from a ruling on a motion for summary judgment. As such, this court's review is de novo. The district court in this case ruled on the fourth prong of the McDonnell-Douglas burden-shifting prima facie case that Dennis Walker, the plaintiff, did not prove that the person selected for the position was better qualified than he. In this case, there were two positions that were open in late 1997. They were in national account manager positions in the alternate site product sales unit of the hospital products division of Abbott. When those positions became vacant, Peter Baker, the hiring manager and the decision maker in this case, set out to approve a personnel requisition seeking candidates to fill those positions. The positions could have been filled by two 18s, two 20s, or an 18 or a 20. Mr. Walker, my client, Mr. Walker applied for the grade salary level 20 position that was posted on the requisition. Mr. Walker had met the minimum qualifications, and Abbott's corporate staffing admitted as such. So his resume was, according to the Abbott policy, sent to the decision maker, Mr. Pete Baker. Mr. Baker selected another candidate who was white. That candidate's name is Craig Smith. Mr. Smith, however, did not meet the minimum qualifications that were contained on the personnel requisition that Peter Baker approved and signed. One of the absolute minimum qualifications that any candidate had to have was a college degree.
Yeah, I know, but it's really to Abbott's credit that they're not absolutely rigidly tied to a set of HR criteria, right? I mean, it's a private company. They can relax their standards when they find someone. This fellow Smith seemed to be highly qualified, although he didn't have the college degree. What's wrong with that? I don't see what's suspicious about that.
Your Honor, it is quite true that Abbott, within its personnel policies, had the right to modify or change or waive certain minimum requirements that were contained on personnel requisitions. The critical fact in this case is that that wasn't waived, and not in this case.
I don't understand what wasn't waived. If they appoint Smith, they've obviously waived their... They didn't give him a college degree, right? So they must have waived their requirement. I don't understand you.
Well, it's the position is that I assume that because Mr. Baker overlooked the minimum requirement, then what happens is that we disregard written rules that follow promotion procedures.
Well, yes, precisely. I mean, it's not like the government. These private companies don't have to stick to their rules. They discover the rules are unduly rigid. They ignore them, right? That must happen all the time.
I don't think it does, Your Honor.
It must happen all the time. Otherwise, these companies would collapse under the weight of their bureaucracy, right? Because they have human resources officers who, write manuals, establish requirements and so on, but then the people actually do the hiring have to make adjustments because of their needs, and people come up with atypical resumes and so on. They're not bound by these standards.
Well, under the Abbott policies, the minimum education requirement was an absolute minimum to be considered
for the position.
Well, apparently
it's not obviously, an absolute, right? Because they appointed Smith, right? So it's not absolute.
We learn from this that Abbott does not behave like the Postal Service, and that's to its credit.
I don't think that that is to the credit. I think that there are cases where this court has
on
the
plaintiff. It's very odd in a discrimination case to be arguing that a bachelor's degree is sacrosanct, and so a company that reaches out for someone who didn't get a college degree should be thought of as doing a bad thing.
I think, Your Honor, if the proposition was that any company in the United States with its employment personnel can totally disregard written procedures and throw it out the window for anybody that they so choose by simply choosing them, then that calls in the question, then what's the reason for the rules of the policies and procedures? In this case, all I have to prove...
Well, you have rules because you think that most of the time this is what you're looking for. You're looking for people with bachelor's degrees. But once in a while, someone comes along, doesn't have the bachelor's degree, but seems to have outstanding qualifications. So since you're not the government, these aren't legal requirements, you say, well, I'm going to hire this person anyway. What's wrong with that? I say it must happen all the time.
Your Honor, I think what's wrong with it is that then it puts people like, for example, Mr. Walker on an unlevel playing field, because any time the qualifications are written, would expect that they're followed.
But no, look, what you're suggesting, you're intimating that he had some kind of contractual right, that, you know, he goes to work and he says to himself, well, I'm only going to be competing with people who have bachelor's degrees, all right? So if he relies on that, that's a term in his employment contract, that's fine. That doesn't have anything to do with discrimination.
Your Honor, I understand that, and I anticipated that a question would come up. Did this rise to a contractual obligation by Abbott that they could not change the rules in the middle of the game? And the answer, of course, is no.
They actually changed the rules in favor of your client when they hired him in this job. They waived the requirement that he have 2 years managerial experience.
Well, Your Honor, in on that point directly, if I may address that point, that comes from a Exhibit 11, which is Willis Exhibit in the record. It is Record 198, Willis Exhibits. That particular section that the Abbott is relying upon that shows either one or two things. One is that Abbott waived the policies for my client because of the 2 years district manager, or secondly, that the requirement of managerial experience, my client didn't even have it and shouldn't be in the job in the first place. The critical...
I hope you don't misunderstand us. No one here is suggesting that he shouldn't be in the job. What we're suggesting is that not being empty-headed bureaucrats is not proof, does not raise an inference of discrimination. I mean, the lack of being empty-headed bureaucrats sometimes helps your client, sometimes may hurt your client, but it's unrelated to discrimination.
That is exactly true, and this court has taught us on many occasions, not as recently as in the Millbrook versus IBP Inc. decision, that even foolish decisions don't rise to the level of discrimination. But I believe that this case...
No, it is a sensible decision, not a foolish
decision. Well, non-intentional discrimination.
So now you're arguing, the sensible violation is suspicious, but the foolish one isn't.
No, in the context that a foolish decision without more does not rise to ipso facto discriminatory
treatment.
What about
a sensible decision?
A sensible decision in the context of this case where a totally unqualified candidate who did not meet the minimum qualifications...
He's not totally unqualified. That's absurd, right?
Your Honor, I did miss it. He was not minimally qualified to be considered for the position, but got the position regardless. And my burden of proof is to show that if the white candidate does not...
Got it, because he was better qualified than the people who met the formal requirement.
If we ignore the minimum requirement of education.
Precisely.
Correct. I see that my time is up, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Wimet. Mr. Peel.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Counsel. My name is Jeffrey Peel. I represent Abbott Laboratories. At the outset, I want to make very clear that this is a disparate treatment race discrimination case in which absolutely no evidence of racial bias was presented by the plaintiff. There's no evidence of a single statement, slur, comment, document which even suggests race discrimination. This case did go through a class certification proceeding in which experts for both sides testified that there are no statistics which suggest discrimination in promotion practices at Abbott. Without such evidence, plaintiff has presented only a circumstantial case which has been manufactured from selective citations to the records, citations out of record and out of context. I want to address specifically the relative credentials of these candidates. It is very clear in the record that Mr. Walker had a 4-year degree in political science, while Mr. Smith had a 2-year degree in medical technology. That is undisputed. Put that aside, every other possible measure of qualifications weighs in favor of Mr. Smith. He was in the industry at Abbott in the division longer than Mr. Walker. He held a district manager position at a grade 19 level for 10 years, longer than Mr. Walker was employed at the company.
You don't have to persuade us that people sometimes have strange qualifications. Well, even a degree in English literature from Yale might qualify one for the law.
It's hard to believe, but there you are.
Well, of course that's true, Your Honor. But with respect to all
of... Did you just get here?
I'm sorry?
How long have you been in the courtroom?
An hour.
You know who's got an English major in Yale, English degree from Yale?
And, of course, you don't know whether I was emphasizing the English literature part or the Yale part.
Your Honor, with respect to...
that's a fight you don't want to get involved in. There's no fight.
I just went to Michigan, so I don't know. With respect to the flexibility in Abbott's credentials, Mr. Walker indeed benefited from that flexibility as well. The posting itself, which Mr. Wiemet directed you to, states specifically a BS or BA in business administration or related is the credential. It's not college degree, but it's a BS, BA in business administration or related. Mr. Walker makes a point in arguing that he had that credential because the hiring manager said you can get past that credential if you had a minor in some business-related area or if you had business experience. So on one hand, he's arguing Abbott must stand rigidly by its requirements. On the other hand, he said, well, there's flexibility because I didn't have a BS or BA in business administration or related. I had a minor in economics, and that got me through the process. With respect to the district manager component on the posting, it does state at least 2 years of district manager or similar managerial position. There's no question that Mr. Smith had 10 years of district management experience at the highest level of performance, while Mr. Walker did not have any. He did have 2 years of experience as a national account manager. There's no evidence in the record that there's any weighing between the two. Mr. Smith did hold the grade 19 level management position 10 years in comparison to Mr. Walker's 2 years in the national account manager position. The district court did get it right with respect to the relative qualifications.
What exactly was the job that they were competing for?
Well, first of all, I'd like to make clear, I don't believe that they were competing for the job.
Well, I know. What was this job?
The job was a national account manager in the alternate site product sales division of the hospital.
What is that? What are those? So you're a sales manager, and what's the product?
They are products that are sold not to the hospital market, but to alternate site locations, homes.
What does that mean?
I'm sorry?
Alternate site?
Right. This is the hospital products division, and so their typical customer would be selling medical support supplies for hospitals. There is a division that sells to alternate sites, which are not hospital locations, whether it be in-home
clinics,
care.
That sort of thing? A clinic, a freestanding
clinic? A home care. There are nursing services that come to homes and provide certain services in the home, and that's the type of marketplace.
So you wouldn't be selling directly to householders.
I'm sorry?
You're not selling to household. You're not selling to...
I don't believe that they're selling directly to the end user.
They're some kind of service that...
Correct. Yeah. Okay. Correct. With respect to the second part of this, the argument made by Mr. Walker that Abbott has changed his position during the course of this litigation, that is absolutely untrue. It's a fiction created by mischaracterization of the record. From the very beginning of this case, from the answer through answering deposition questions through summary judgment and appeal, Abbott has set forth a consistent answer that Mr. Walker had been in the national account manager position in question here. The fact that they answered interrogatory response during the class certification stage, in which they stated that Mr. Smith received this position in question because he was a grade 19 district manager and national all-star, is not in any way inconsistent. It's not inconsistent to say that Mr. Smith was qualified for the position and Mr. Walker already held the position in question. There is no evidence here to suggest racial bias. There's no evidence here to suggest that Mr. Walker was more qualified for the position than Mr. Smith, and there is no actual evidence that there was a shifting of positions by Abbott in this case. And if there are no further questions, thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Peel. Mr. Wemet, how much time does he have? 1 minute?
May it please the Court. With the limited time that I have remaining, I would like to directly rebut the statement that there is not shifting explanations in this case sufficient to show pretext. The Abbott has stated and asserted that they have consistently said that Dennis Walker did not get the grade salary level 20 job because he applied for his own job. His position was a grade 18 national account manager. They are not the same job. The grade salary level 20 is a hierarchical promotion. Abbott has even admitted in its pleadings.
Well, how do the responsibilities of the 20 differ from those of the 18?
The responsibilities do not differ whatsoever as far as the national account manager. However, the grade and salary level at this company, this is in fact a pay-based promotion. And Mr. Warshaw.
So what's the point? Walker just wanted a raise, is that it?
Well, this is a movement in the hierarchical structure.
I don't understand you. He wanted a raise, right?
He wanted a raise and a grade increase, a grade level.
What does
increase.
That mean? The grade increase is the raise, isn't it?
That is, Your Honor.
What else do you get with a grade increase?
You also, at that time in 1997, would have been eligible for stock options.
Right, so that's another form of raise.
Another form of compensation.
It is primarily compensation financial.
Yeah.
Correct. I see that my time is up, Your Honor. If I may, for the reasons that we've stated in our brief and in the oral argument, we respectfully ask that this court reverse.
So now I'm lost. So Walker is in this job and he wants a raise. Now what is Smith being given? The raise or the job or what?
Your Honor, both. Smith was grade 19. He moved to a grade 20 in salary, and the position changed from a district manager to a national accounts manager, a person who handles national contract accounts for hospital products.
So Smith actually got a change in his job responsibilities.
He did, Your Honor.
Well, is your objection that he shouldn't have gotten the national account, that he shouldn't have gotten his job?
Your Honor, it is our position that Mr. Smith did not meet the minimum qualifications for the position. It should not have been considered, and yes, should not have gotten the job.
But after they gave Smith the job, Walker is still doing the job, isn't he?
He is still functioning.
Two national account managers, right?
Yes, both.
Well, I don't understand. They need to. What? Is your argument that they should have given him the 20 and leave Smith with a 19? Is that the idea?
The argument, Your Honor, is that Smith should not have been considered. Walker should have been. And
I don't understand. They want two people, right?
Oh, they had other candidates who filled those slots.
Wait a second. So your argument is they shouldn't have given Smith the job, they should have given it to some other person?
The grade salary 20 position.
Yeah.
And our argument.
But they still want this other national account manager at 19 or whatever, right? At 18.
Yes.
He's at 8. I mean, this is very strange. So Walker is at 18, right?
Correct.
But he's a national account manager.
Yes.
Now they want another national account manager.
They actually want two more, possibly three. And the openings are you could be a grade 20 national account, grade 18, both 18, both 20. What Dennis vied for was the 20. That's what Mr. Smith vied for, the 20. And our argument in its essence.
But they have the same responsibilities? Why do they have different salaries?
simply based on the grade level. The grade level at Abbott determines your minimum median salaries.
No, I understand that, but why does the same job have two different salary levels?
Why does the job with the same functions have two different salaries?
Right.
Simply because of the way they've graded them. I don't know anything
graded
more.
Graded
the same job.
In other words, they're identical jobs which have different salaries, whoever occupies them?
That is my understanding. That is correct.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Next case for our